From the tranquil streets of Sandy Bay, Tasmania, to the beachside metropolis of Newcastle, New South Wales, then to the less than picturesque suburban back alleys of Penrith's Glenmore Park, to Warragee and Bomaderry in the underarm of the Shoalhaven, all the way to the nation's capital and back to Newcastle comes me, an MK-turned-Sunday school guru that climbed the ranks of private schools to become the number one teacher-pleasing, pun-cracking, punk-singing, misfit-embracing, Pokemon-catching, forest-loving, slow-reading, fast-talking, podcast-hosting, lightsaber-wielding YWAM the world has ever seen. Pastor's kid since 04, middle kid since 03. My name is Ryan Luke, and this is Pastor's Middle Kid. Welcome to Pastor's Middle Kid. It's me, Ryan Luke. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week on the show, I have my good friends Tristan and Austin from Canada to join me and talk about music, of all things. Who would have thought that a musician would like to talk about music? Anyway, if this podcast quality sounds a little better than usual, it's because I had a few people that believed in me enough to sponsor me some money to buy a Blue Yeti Blackout microphone, which is a semi-professional microphone. Yay, semi-pro! Anyway, I'm also sitting in my workplace at YWAM Newcastle, where I call people from all over the world to talk about Discipleship Training School and what YWAM is. So, the acoustics in here are pretty dead, which makes it sound even more like a studio. This is the most official sounding PMK to date, and I'm really excited to see what happens with it. I'm so excited and thankful for this microphone, and if you help contribute, then I am eternally in your debt, or at least until I get out of it, and I hope that you enjoy the quality of everything that I put out from now onwards. This week, I've been learning a lot about what it means to be wholehearted in everything that I do, from this podcast to working in student communications and everything in between, even going to the beach. Yeah. Who would have thought that some people would need encouragement to be wholehearted and going to the beach? Yeah, I'm not a necessarily beachy person. Anyway, last week I was on the Gold Coast with my family, so I was unable to put out an episode. I'm sorry if you were waiting by the podcast app for this new episode to appear. Hopefully this one will redeem any hurt feelings that you have. Also, I want to say that Davis Westershine, everyone's favorite new Pastor's Middle Kids segment, will actually make its own episodes that will come out on the Pastor's Middle Kid podcast just separately so that you don't have to sit through 40 minutes of other speech to listen. And if you're not interested in hearing it, then you don't have to. Yeah, hopefully everybody will win from this. This week is a very, very good episode, and I'm so excited to have you listen in to the conversation with Tristan and Austin. Here we go. My podcast has been marked as explicit anyway. And I don't even know why. iTunes just marked me as explicit and I can't unmark it. I explicitly said inexplicit. It's just, I don't know.
But really, it just gives you free reign to do whatever you want in your podcast.
I guess it kind of does. But I don't know. I mean, I still have a persona that I want to maintain. Even if it's not real. I want to be this squeaky clean.
It adds a bit of tension.
Oh yeah, because I know that some PKs kind of go bad.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be the twist here. I could go to the dark side.
Yeah.
The problem being, it wasn't a specific episode that was marked as explicit. It was the entire thing. So my 2 minute introduction episode, which was me saying, "I'm Ryan, and this is my new podcast adventure. It's going to be terrific." And it's like explicit. Oh. Oops.
Awesome.
Oh, beep.
Oops. I still tell people that. I'm just like, yeah, like, listen to Pastor Middle Kids podcast. It's the funniest thing. They're all explicit. It's just like, yeah. Yep, that's the one. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, what do you guys think about the blue, white, and red? Because I feel like we're all kind of on the same page with it. But the blue, white, and red filters for the Facebook profile pictures. I want to preface this by saying that what has happened in Paris is a very sad occurrence and is definitely something to keep in your prayers. What do you guys think about the temporary Facebook profile picture filters?
Oh boy. Tread lightly.
Basically, I just think that it's not really helping the situation. I understand the idea behind it, and I understand you want to raise awareness, but changing your profile picture, at least the filter, is not going to change the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just remember scrolling through my feed and just like, it's like, this person changed their profile picture, but all they did was take the original one and just put like that cheesy like fade of like the French flag, which again, like you said, like it's such a tragedy. But like, it's just, it frustrates me to no end. It just, I feel like, not to badmouth too many people, but like that Facebook sort of capitalizing on the whole thing and just like using it as something to
definitely
you know, say, oh, we care, like, look at what we did, we care, like, we support. It's like what they did with like when gay marriage got legalized in America. They did the same thing. They had
that one was a permanent filter.
Yeah.
Really?
This one's only temporary.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are still people with the rainbow colors in their profile picture.
Yeah, I saw that today. So, and I was like, get with it. It's a new filter.
Okay, we get it. You support gay marriage, whatever. Just change it already, please.
But yeah,
come on, get on the bandwagon.
Oh man, and not to badmouth people who have it. Like, I understand. Like, we get that you support that. Like, and it makes sense. Like, why you do it. But I just like, I would never do that myself. I just
even as Christians, it should go without saying that we take the side of the French people in this, and we actually want to have compassion on them, and we keep them in our prayers. We intercede. That should be a given.
Yeah.
If the majority of your Facebook friends either are Christians or know that you're a Christian, then why is it necessary? If there's somebody out there that is the last person that you would expect to actually care about people, and then they change it.
It's like, oh wow, now it means something.
Well, either that or you go, oh, they don't actually mean that. I know that person.
No, you don't really support gay pride.
Nobody questioned you when you changed your profile picture to a rainbow filter. But as soon as you put up the blue, white, and red, then people start thinking, you're just doing it just because everyone else is. But
The whole bandwagon kind of idea.
Yeah.
Just like, well, I don't want people to think I don't support Paris. So like, oh, I'm going to do it.
I mean, yeah, or you could just share the pictures that say pray for Paris.
Yeah.
Or maybe hashtag even a Facebook pray post.
Yeah, because as if nobody's done that.
Yeah. But there's an Instagram post like that I saw that was going around. It was the, it was kind of cool. It was like the peace sign, but it was the Eiffel Tower in it. I'm like, oh, cool. I'd share that. Mm-hmm. But like, because it's not hipster, I didn't get in on that. Like, so I kind of let that one slide. I was like, too late.
Yeah. But, you're a little, too late for the bandwagon.
Too late for the bandwagon.
It's just gone past.
Yeah, it's like, oh, three posts. Yeah. No,
well, see, that's just it. Because here we are almost a week after the thing. And I mean, the day of or the day after, every single post on the Facebook newsfeed was changed your temporary picture, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But then now we have some people that yesterday they changed it, and you go, "Oh, did you care back last week, or do you only care today?" I'm not really sure. something to keep in mind here is that it's blue, white, and red. It's not red, white, and blue. I feel like if the red, white, and blue became a filter, then I know a lot of America Americans that would definitely change their profile picture. I just think it's important that we remember that the French flag is blue, white, and red.
Amen.
It's the opposite to America. I'm not saying anything about the political or religious standpoints of France being the opposite to America. This is just a simple statement of colors. I'm not even trying to say anything racially here.
What are you trying to say, Ryan?
It's just a color scheme. Not saying that it's a scheme. But
explicit. Too late.
That's it. You got me, iTunes.
I love that.
Anyway, I'm here with my good friends Tristan and Austin from Canada.
That's right.
Introduce yourselves, boys.
All right, I'm Tristan. I'm from Saskatchewan, Canada, and I'm doing a YWAM. I'm doing SOM. Yeah. This is Austin. Do you want to introduce yourself, dude?
Okay, I'll introduce myself. Yeah, my name's Austin. I'm from Ontario in Canada. I'm actually doing the School of Music and Missions as well. Mm-hmm.
Great. I love how the whole atmosphere in this office right now, as soon as I said introduce yourselves, just went...
That's so true.
Hi, my name is Ryan, and I've been a Christian for 7.5 years.
Just kidding. Instantly go to testimony. Like,
tell me about yourself. Well, my mother...
See, okay, something interesting about testimonies, I understand, like, when they go on testimonies, they share, like, meaningful things that happen that shape their lives. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I love when I want to say a testimony, I want to make it, like, this is what God's doing in my life, and, like, even though, like, obviously there's all struggles and there's sorrow, but, like, I love when people share testimonies and they're just on fire, and they're like, yeah, this happened, like, even though this happened to me, like, I'm on fire for it. Like, I just feel like testimonies always just sort of have, like, that melancholy feel. Like, it's just like,
which is weird.
Oh, this happened to me, and, you know, but God's still good. It's just like, it's like, okay. And then you pat him on the back, and then next person's up. And but, yeah, it's just something interesting I found with when people share testimony. They seem to lean towards more the sad side of things.
Yeah, something I noticed when I was younger even would be, if someone mentioned the word testimony, I immediately thought, I have to share my salvation story.
Yeah,
What's your testimony? This happened to me, and this is how I felt, and it was horrible, and then Jesus came into my life in a really subtle way, and it took many years for me to change, but now I feel like I'm doing a little bit better.
Yeah.
Oh. That's it. Exactly. Wow, that's great. Terrific.
Man. I almost feel like people like almost expect a conclusion to that too. It's like, then this is like how Jesus has been so. Not to say that Jesus like it, and like that isn't the case for some people, but I just feel like it's okay to go through struggles. Like it's actually said that we will, you know. So it's okay to be in that sort of desert time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
good place to be.
I just feel like some people are like, my testimony's just not happy enough. And not to say that, like you know, but there's still joy. You can still have joy out of sorrow, right?
Mm.
So, something I learned from Inside Out.
Yes. Whoa. Pixar revelations, everyone.
For real, though.
When I think about the fairy tale ending to Christianity, suddenly Jesus is in my life and things are 1,000 times better. That's true. But also at the same time, they get worse. Mm. Because as soon as you open yourself up to Jesus, you realize just how messed up you are.
Mm.
And when that happens, you start addressing these problems, hopefully, and start righting the wrongs. And then you notice more. And the more you dig through the garden, the more weeds you notice. And then you have to pull them out and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, people are not going to like you for it, and they might even mark your podcast as explicit because of it. I put this down to the simple fact that this is Christian persecution, marking my podcast as explicit.
Amen. Amen to that.
iTunes.
Just not saying anything at all about the religious standpoint of iTunes or Apple as a corporation, but
dang you, Steve Jobs.
Oh my god.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay, Austin. What's your testimony, brother?
Make it sad.
Oh man, my testimony. Now I feel like, should I give a sad story or should I give a happy story?
I thought you only had one testimony. That's how I was. That's what I thought.
There's
growing
an alternate
up.
Ending to my life.
This one is actually choose your own adventure. If my life gets better, turn to page 87.
Okay.
If I don't actually have any friends, turn to page 13.
Oh my god.
All right. You guys are both on the School of Music and Missions.
Yep.
And that is a second level YWAM school, which is after the Discipleship Training School, which means you guys have been in YWAM for at least 6 months now. Yep. How did you guys get involved in YWAM, and where did you do your Discipleship Training School?
Well, funny enough, I actually got forced to do my DTS. Mm. I was not a Christian when I did my DTS.
Whoa.
So that's a whole part to my story that's, yeah. Long story short, basically God's done a lot of heart surgery really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was planning to be there for, I think, 2 weeks, and then somehow God convinced me to stay. Yeah, and then Tristan was also very happy when I stayed. I do remember that day.
He was not a happy kid when he first arrived.
Quite. I had a lot of angst.
Oh, man. Something to make clear here is that Tristan and Austin were both on the same discipleship training school.
That's right.
Where'd you guys do it?
We went up in Toowoomba.
Yeah, up in Queensland.
Toowoomba.
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 T-Bar. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I think he was actually one of the first people I met. We were on the bus and we were driving and we stopped at this McDonald's for some reason. I was like, oh, then there's this guy looking gloom as ever.
Oh, I was having a
horrible gets on the
day,
bus and... Because you slept in... Where'd you sleep for one day or like...
Man, I had a horrible day. But yeah, I slept in. I got in to the hotel at like 2 in the morning. Then I had a really not so nice day. Went from like negative 35 degrees back home to positive 40 and humid in Brisbane.
Canada!
Yeah, you gotta love Canada. Man. And then, yeah, slept in. Didn't want to be there. Missed my shuttle. Then I was at McDonald's and the shuttle was an hour and a half late. And then I get on this vehicle with a whole bunch of goofy, loud kids who are smiling. And I'm like, please just shut up.
It was so not. No, but you opened up eventually when we started talking about metal music.
Yes. That did open me up.
That was us.
Yeah.
We were it was me, Austin.
You opened up by metal.
Yes.
Much like Wolverine's victims.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyway.
It's okay. We'll cut that out. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
Not saying anything at all about the editorial process, whether or not I keep things out, and then just to be...
This is all live.
Just to make that clear, I'm not saying that I have any particular standpoint on the editorial side of things.
Just cut all
my disclaimers
voice
are not working today.
It's just... Okay, we're on the bus and it was me, Austin, and some other random guy that we were talking
to. Some Aussie, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just talking to him and he seemed like a real chill dude. Didn't say too much, is really soft spoken, and yeah, and we ended up having this crazy adventure together on DTS, and now we're here.
Newcastle.
Doing a secondary school, and it's been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I met you guys, don't really remember you. But I met you guys at Easterfest.
The only reason I remember you is you had funny pants.
Yeah.
Well, you were supposed to have funny pants. I don't think I met you when you had the funny pants.
Oh my gosh, that was...
All right. Okay, yeah, no, I was wearing my festival pants for one of the days.
Yeah.
That's my tradition at music festivals is to wear the old festival pants. And hence the name.
It's like our bottom, they're your festival pants.
I mean, it makes sense.
That's how they sell them, just vessel pants.
No, that's what I made them. They didn't sell them as that at all. I think they would like...
What do they sell them at?
Now, the front of them's elastic. So I feel like they might have been pregnancy pants.
But those maternity wear pants? No, 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 they're festival pants. No, this is.
Do I look pregnant? Don't answer that question. I'm at a festival. Settle down.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so I wasn't wearing the pants?
I don't think you were wearing the pants that day.
Okay, I was wearing different pants.
Though. Yeah, I heard lots of stories about the pants, but you were not wearing the pants that day.
Whoa, who'd you hear the stories from?
Yeah. I don't actually recall. Somebody, I think it was Andrew Berta.
It's Berta.
Yeah, it's definitely Berta. Andrew Berta.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah. He is the man.
Did he staff your DTS?
He was
for a bit there. Yeah.
He did grounds and maintenance.
Yeah, yeah. Because we had a guy named Landon who was actually our school leader doing grounds. Yeah, you met him.
I met Landon.
Amazing dude. So he was helping us out with our grounds duty. Just the four of us. He sort of took over that role for Landon. Just sort of give him a break. Mm-hmm. And he's the funniest, dude. Weirdest dude I've ever met.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome guy.
He's awesome. He did DTS here in Newcastle last year in July.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew about him. And right after his DTS, God said, go to Toowoomba and stuff. And he went, okay. Don't know anything about Toowoomba. Don't even know where it is. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's just him. He's just a fiery dude, passionate about what he's passionate about, and loves the Lord with everything he is.
Yeah.
So good. So he told you about the festival pants.
Yes, he did.
Did Kayla tell you anything?
Yes, Kayla did.
You know Kayla?
I know Kayla.
I did not know that.
Cool.
I think I did know that, but I did not remember that.
Yeah, I met Kayla the year before at Easter Fest, and we hung out a few times.
Awesome. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is awesome. Okay, so I met you guys at Easter Fest, and it was just kind of in passing. It was like, hey, I'm doing DTS. Great. You're Canadian. I've just finished doing school music and missions in Newcastle, and I just want to listen to my favorite band, Emery, play and talk with people, but you guys are doing stuff because you were helping out on crew, something like that, right? Because that was part of your music and worship DTS
thing? It was a part of the outreach phase because we only spent a month. I think usually YWAM spent, 2.5 months or 3 months on outreach phase. But we, I don't know why that was.
Because it was for Easter Fest, we spent, 3.5 weeks setting up. And then we got to actually attend the festival. But after the festival, we spent, the 4 days after tearing
it took way easier to just tear it down. Anyway, that was part of our, the part of the outreach component of our DTS. And it was amazing. It was so cool setting up stages for, Red and Switchfoot. It was just, kind of humbling too. It's just like every pull I'm putting in, I'm just like, John Foreman's gonna stand here. Easter Fest blew me away. It's sad that it was the last one, unfortunately. Yeah. But Dave's still hopeful. Yeah. The guy's running.
Yeah. Dave Shank.
Yeah.
What a man.
Awesome dude. He used to drum for off topic, but he used to drum for Hillsong. He was one of the original drummers for Hillsong.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was actually drumming for Tasman Jude there for a little bit. And he was
really?
He was rocking it, man.
That's awesome.
He's so cool.
Singing Jah Love. Jah Love. It's flowing like a fountain. Oh yeah. Even when the bills about higher than the mountain. Oh yeah. Tasman Jude.
I'm feeling it.
Those guys, they're from Alberta, right?
Yeah.
They're
from Alberta.
They're good friends.
They formed in Alberta, yeah.
Yeah, they're friends with my DTS mate, Davin, from Grand Prairie in Alberta.
Okay.
So he knew them, and we listened to Tasman Jude on DTS. They'd never been to Australia before. And then because we helped out at Easter Fest that year as part of our DTS local outreach, Tasman Jude came the next year.
Really?
Davin's recommendation.
That is awesome.
So, that's the reason that they showed up. Man, this is really cool.
Dude,
I like how everything's kind of working together here. And
we just never know. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
the
connections.
Yeah.
Something about Canada and Australia that just it mixes well.
It's a Commonwealth thing.
Commonwealth.
Yeah. It's Commonwealth. Thank you, Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We love you, Queen Elizabeth.
I'll hail the Queen. I'm doing the wave right now.
just do you hear it?
Okay. Sweet. Okay. Music. This is something that we all share in common, as well as all being middle kids, which is terrific. it's very rare that I get to be in a group of middle kids. And even here, Austin is the youngest, I'm the oldest, and Tristan's the middle.
The middle of the middle kids.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. Let's get back to music. Okay. We all share a passion for the rock slash hardcore scene.
Mm, yeah.
And that's something that immediately we connected on when you guys arrived for the School of Music and Missions.
Yeah.
And I did SOMM last year, and that was fun. But I was the only one that liked heavy music. Which was kind of, it was difficult. I mean, our band chemistry for Ransom Mystic, we ended up being like this folk thing. Cause it was the most, across the board doable combination. Is that kind of what you guys are going for at the moment?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Are we going for folk?
Well, it just seems like this seems the direction we're taking because... indie folk kind of that area, just because that's like what's mainstream now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you got your Mumford and Sons, you got your Ed Sheeran's Passenger, like all these who all happen to be British, which is kind of funny, but thank you Queen, but yeah, but like it's so weird because that's just naturally musically where we go, like like because they're acoustic sets, right?
True. Yeah,
and just sort of like, you know, the finger picking, it just sounds that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
get like, a lot of harmonies in there.
Yeah, exactly. Three part harmonies. It sounds like, because those are utilized in folk music and unfortunately country music and stuff like
that. Yeah, but, I understand.
So that's just sort of the direction we're going, I guess. But like, it's weird because it's still undefined because we come from such different musical backgrounds.
Yeah,
I myself I love metal. I think it's probably one of my something I'm the most passionate about, but I love, like, I'm getting to love all music because it's music, and because it's breathed by God, no matter what it is. And I don't know if you've heard of the band Sigaros, but I'm really getting into them, and like they're amazing. I love the atmosphere, kind of ambient sounding stuff.
Yeah.
And Austin, do you want to share what you're passionate about as far as music?
Yeah, thank you for facilitating.
I was just like, I could talk for hours about music, so I'm just like stopping myself.
I'm glad you can replace me as the host of this podcast. Austin, would you like to share a little bit about your influences in music? And
Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, I thought of that question myself.
Man, since I can remember, just into really 70s, 80s rock. Mm-hmm. That was really what got me started in everything. Beatles were my jam back in the day.
Come on.
Grade 7, grade 8, or as some people would say, year 7 and 8. But
It means you by you people, Australians.
Yeah, people, you people.
Thank you for translating that.
You're welcome.
Yes.
What's a grade?
Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah, nope. But then I found this weird album on my computer called A Demon Hunter, the band.
Oh.
Oh, man, I think it was... Maybe it was Summer of Darkness.
Ooh, cool. That's a good album.
I think it was. And it was like that just...
I saw him at Easterfest 2-3 years ago. Dude. Yeah, on my DTS. It was the best.
Oh, that's so rad.
Oh, his voice, though.
Storm the Gates of Hell. Anyway.
Storm.
Okay.
Okay.
Calm down, Jason. They don't tour very much either, so it was a rare occasion. They'd never come to Australia before. Anyway, that's so awesome. You found Demon Hunter on your computer. Yeah,
found Demon Hunter on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea what was there, but listened to it and...
Started hunting demons.
Started hunting, basically. I mean...
it's in the title.
Yeah.
One thing led to another, next thing you know, I'm Van Helsing.
So bad. Oh, man. Yeah, but, man, just exploded. Like, I was really into the skateboarding culture as well, so it was like bands like Enter Shikari or Attack Attack. That was just like, in layman's terms, that was my jam. But yeah, really got into that music, and then just from there, Under Oath was, that's what really got me into the music scene now. It's just, they became a huge inspiration for me. And now I'm coming back to like just the rock and roll, the like Monster Truck. I think they're from Canada, but such a good band.
That's probably why I haven't heard of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not exactly the coolest name in the world, but
Okay, so you guys have similar backgrounds, at least as far as the past passion slash current passion for metal goes, and That sounds really cool. You've got this kind of Beatles approach to things, and you're going in more of the direction of Sigaros and the atmospheric stuff. That actually sounds like that could potentially work pretty well together.
Yeah.
And I heard you guys jamming last week. It was awesome. I was sitting in here in the office trying to make phone calls. and then we had the door open of the office. And then every now and then the door would open to the performance room where you guys were jamming. Austin was playing the guitar. Tristan was on the drums. Yeah. And people would go in and out. And I just went, what is this ruckus? Then I started listening and went, I like this ruckus. This is good. This could work. And then I went and stood in the back, and you said before that you thought I was going to tell you to be quiet. Yeah.
I was just like, you look so... Well, you just came in. There was like no expression on your face. You just sort of opened the door, stood there for a bit, and I was like kind of looking. I was playing the drums, and I'm like, should I quiet down? And then he just left, and I was like, all right, it's cool.
Really, I was just thinking I could write vocals to this. So,
oh, that's so
yeah,
right.
It was... good stuff. I'm feeling the musical chemistry. Do you guys feel like this is a passion that God has birthed in you? And if so, where do you feel like he's taking you with it?
Well, I mean, personally, I'm just like, yeah, metal is just, it's God's music. It's not explicitly God's music, but it's, yes.
Pretty close.
I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but God's definitely just given me a heart, especially for skateboarding culture. Yeah. It's so... Mm-hmm. Like, it speaks to them. And I mean, it's not that they're just angry kids. I mean, it's angry music for happy people is what I've learned from August Burns Red.
Oh, that's cool. But
yeah, it's definitely God's just kind of given me a heart just in even talking to kids and coming from that scene. It's just like, I can really relate to them. It's just music that speaks to them. And I think through that, it's just, you can really change a culture. You can bring, a different vibe to a culture. And I have a passion for metal. Passion, it's kind of a dying passion sadly, but for skateboarding, and it's just bringing those two things together, that's where my heart's at, man.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And what about you, Tristan?
What was the question, sorry?
Did God birth this passion?
God birthed it. All right, definitely. I became a Christian before I started music. I went to a Christian school back home, and the whole idea of like music, it never interested me. I was more into sports, more into my hockey, Canada. So like that's what you did. I was a good goalie for a little bit there, but I think I just saw the worship team, and at that point all they had was a bunch of singers from my grade and one pianist who happened to be the worship leader. And I just looked at it, I was like, this is so cool. Like they're just like singing. And like that was my first experience with worship too, and then getting that explained to me, like what it is and why we do it, and I was like, how can I be a part of this? So I started singing, because at a young age I always sang, and like I was on choir when I was in grade two or year two, sorry. And so like
I'm sure the Australian listeners will be able to understand. It's just grade two.
Just want to make sure, okay.
Be inclusive.
But yeah, so I just think like I've always like sang, you know, like whether it's like on the radio or like just or whatever's there, and like I'm always like tapping my hands on whatever any service I can find. So like naturally rhythm and like melody comes naturally to me. So I definitely think that's God birth. But really music started to come into fruition when I started playing on the worship band at school. And I remember I was just like, I had never played guitar before, but my step brother actually had a guitar, like a really crappy guitar that I just asked if I could use it. And he's like, yeah, for sure. I don't use it. And I remember learning just the notes to Amazing Grace on it. Just like Amazing Grace. And then I played it for the worship and it was awful. Like, but at that point I was like, I'm a rock star. Like, this is great, you know? And, sadly I wasn't, but it was fine. Like, and that really just like, just sparked something, like just opened something inside of, like it was crazy. And then all of a sudden like I'm on this crazy journey of just exploring of what that is and where my place is in music, and I definitely think that was like God given and just how that came to be.
Your first experience with music was singing. And your first instrument was guitar.
I did a little bit piano in like French school, but never retained any of it. So really, it
French school. That's awesome. Bilingual countries.
Canada, man.
Gotta love it.
Yeah,
So
you probably sang Frère Jacques
the way it was meant to Jacques be. Ardonnez-vous. Yeah, like
whoa,
all that good stuff. Yeah, I know, right? Two words. bonjour. But yeah, so like starting from scratch on guitar. Mm-hmm. I remember. Do you listen to band Muse?
Yeah,
I've heard Muse. There's a song called Knights of Sidonia, and basically the melody is just four notes, just down, 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 and it's just those four notes. And I wanted to learn to play it on guitar because I thought it was so cool. Mm. And I remember I didn't know how to use frets. I didn't know what they were there for. Like I looked at this, I've never seen a guitar before, and I'm just like, how do I do this? Mm. So I actually tuned to the notes I wanted, and I was like, wow, it's there. Like, Dad, listen. And then he's like, that's great. And he's and like completely lying to me, like it was awful. Like I was like, and then like tuning up to it, it was terrible. Like, that's so awesome. He's like, why don't you use the frets? I'm like, what are the frets? Just, even my dad, who's not really musically inclined, even knows what frets are for. And so and then when I hit it, I was like, oh, like revelation. Like, this changes the game. And so so that's sort of like where I started from, that really humble and ignorant beginning to where I'm at now, which is
when did you learn the drums?
Rock Band. When Rock Band came out, like they had this something called freestyle mode, and remember, it's just four pads. So I remember I was always like, I always tap my fingers on surfaces and stuff like that, so I had, I guess, natural rhythm.
Yeah.
And so I just so drums sort of came naturally for me.
Right.
Yeah. And then knowing guitar, I was able to move into piano, and because really it's just the same scale, same everything, same notes. So and moved that to the bass, moved that to other instruments. I got into violin for a little bit, but never really gave it a real chance.
Yeah, there were no frets, so you weren't able to
You
had to stay tuning.
So I just kept I went back to what I did on guitar and just kept tuning up to things. Strings kept breaking, I don't know why, but but yeah, so like that's, and so like I definitely think like it's God given my ear for music. You know, more like, it's not like I just picked up a guitar one day and was like, whoa, I can play this like really well. No, it was a long process, but I think the fact that I can hear music, I think I have a really good ear for tone and melody and harmonies and stuff like that. So I think that's was something that's learned, but I also think it's something that people are just more natural at. You know,
and you can scream too. That's what I've heard.
And that was
how did you learn that? When did you learn that? Why?
Okay, well, I like first band I ever listened to was Under Oath.
Cool.
And Demon Hunter and like all the Tooth and Nail. So like I was just like, listening to this, I was like, what are they doing? Yeah. I was like, that is so interesting to me. And the first screaming technique I ever learned, it was this low growl. And it sounded like,
could you give us an example?
Yeah, it's something like, it sounds like the Batman voice.
Okay.
So it's like, like that. Like, so they're really like dumb like that. And it's just like, and I practiced it, and like people were like, what are you doing? Like, that sounds terrible. It sounds like a burp. But like, if you listen to metal music, and it just, and like, it just totally, I can't believe I did that live. but yeah, so like I learned that, and I was like, this is so cool. Like, what am I doing? And from there, like, it's just from there, like, I was trying to learn how to, like, pitch it up and, like, how do I get higher screams. And eventually, thanks to some also Melissa Cross videos, who is an amazing vocal instructor, and especially in that sort of scene.
The Zen of Screaming.
Zen of Screaming, yeah. Mm-hmm. I downloaded that illegally and started listening to, like, and basically they're just regular vocal warm-ups used but directed for singers who usually, you know, are really loud, but like just sort of introduced the idea of like classical style of warm-ups to these musicians and vocalists who have no idea of what they're doing or what's happening in their throat or why they have awful, or like why they feel awful after a show, and like why they lose their voice every night. You know, and you hear all these testimonies of like Spencer Chamberlain from Under Oath being one of them, saying like, now I can sing so much higher, I can sing so much longer, and like it feels good in my throat. And just, I thought it was just really cool. So I started listening to those, and but it didn't teach me how to scream. It taught me how to scream correctly. So they go in with, they like, you already know how to scream, like that's why you would listen to Zen of Screaming. So like the reason why and the reason why I wanted to learn was just because like my favorite bands did this, you know, and, like, and I wanted to be part of that. And it just really goes back to like
my heart for the metal scene and the skate scene, which seemed to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's sort of where that started, why I learned to scream. Mm-hmm.
So is there hope for someone like me who is a singer that wants to be able to scream?
Oh yeah, dude, for sure. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. But, no, you come to Canada, I'll teach you everything you need to know. Like, yeah, anyone can do it, but it's just a matter of, like, do you want to wreck your voice? Like, because I've heard you sing, you have a very nice voice, so it's like, do you want to, like,
thank you,
mesh that with screaming? You know what I mean? Do you want to ruin that? Because it actually does take quite a toll, obviously, it's screaming.
Yeah.
But, so, no matter how you do it, no matter how much you warm up, it's going to, you know, eventually deteriorate your voice. So, but yeah, anyone can do it, really. It's just a matter of, like, how much time you want to put into it and how dedicated you are to sounding awful and burping into microphones. Yeah. But, like, honestly, like, it's so funny. That's something they teach you, is like the Batman voice. Like, that's all like false chord. It's like that very low, like,
right,
like, yeah. And not a lot of people know that, you know. They're just like, oh, yeah, the Batman voice. It's like, it's cool, like, seeing, like, what is actually going on in your throat to make that happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's something, yeah, something I find very fascinating.
Right, okay. Give us a scream, and then we'll move to Austin.
No.
No?
No. I can't. I completely forgot how to do it. No.
Oh, what?
No, not on the podcast. I already did that burping thing.
Okay, Austin, what instrument did you start on? How did music make its way into your life? Obviously, you've said that it's been around for a long time. What did you start with?
Okay, so I started with piano, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, was born and raised playing the piano. My parents thought it was a very good idea, and I mean, I actually agree. Mm-hmm. Piano is a great instrument to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest, I have, the only memories of playing piano I have is sitting at the piano crying for half an hour playing. But
were you playing Adele or?
No, but I mean,
that's awesome.
Oh man, yeah. But it was honestly, if anybody wants to get into music, piano is probably the best instrument to start on. Mm-hmm. I would say hands down.
It's pretty universally adaptable.
Totally. As well. Yeah. Mm. Like, so I started playing piano. I played from, I think it was like when I was 6 or 5 till when I was about 11. Yeah, and then at 11 years old, finally my parents let me stop playing piano and actually start playing guitar, which was the instrument I wanted to start playing.
Mm-hmm.
My inspiration for that was just my dad. I thought, I mean, my dad's still cool, but I was like, dad was like number one. I was the, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so started playing that, when I was 11, and it was like, I think after 6 months of playing, like, they put me on the worship band. We played I have a small church, so it's like, my parents would put me on, like, for maybe a song or two, and it's like,
you made it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, at that age, you're like, I'm already there. There's no, you can't go
What else is there to learn,
exactly.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah, 4 chords, I mean.
I'll be signing faces and forearms after the service.
Oh, man. Yep.
That's awesome.
So was from when you were about 11 or so.
So yeah, I've been playing in the worship band since I was like 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Started off playing crappy old acoustic.
Mm-hmm. I played that too, actually, yeah. And Tristan did too. Mm-hmm. We all played crappy old acoustic.
Crappy old acoustic. Yeah. That's a good memory. I have a lot of good memories. But,
yeah, I wrote my first song in a crappy old acoustic.
Oh, it just sounds so awful. Like,
yeah.
You can't not.
Exactly. <That's right. laughs> Your fingers are like bleeding after 5 minutes of playing. Yeah.
And it's even worse with the nylon strings. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Is it really? Just,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I played on a crappy old nylon string guitar.
That's even worse, I think. A classical?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, look, I don't know how long those strings have been on and how many of them were fishing wire, but
felt fishing wire
bleeding all over the fretboard.
Is this right? Like, do I have calluses yet?
Ryan, where are your fingertips?
Permanent, like, scars on the fingertips. Yeah.
Okay, so did you pick up any other instruments along the way?
I really, so, like, when we got to high school, so, like, grade 9, I was in band class, so I picked up clarinet. Which, cool. I'm going to be honest, I did not want to play a clarinet, but they stuck me on flute initially, and
right.
Yeah, I really didn't want to play flute, so clarinet was a step up. And honestly, the playing piano really helped, like the transition from guitar to piano, or from piano to guitar, and then from guitar to like clarinet as well. It's just like, because I could read music. And
I
because
get it. I read had, like, music. That was a really subtle pun.
That's so bad. Yes, that was intentional.
Is it bad that I was waiting for that? You could tell. I was
on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. He's going to say read. He's going to say read. Got
say it.
Okay, but, yeah, you could read music.
So, could read music. I had, like, the hand coordination, so, like, from piano to guitar was really easy because you have, like, the two hands working at the same time, and then the clarinet, same, pretty easy. Yeah, and that was huge in just, like, expanding. So, like, I started being able to actually take, like, music pieces and split them up between, like, a whole orchestra, basically, of, like, different woodwinds, brass, et cetera, et cetera, which was really helpful for just understanding how band dynamics actually work. Yeah, then eventually I think I picked up bass probably when I was about grade 10, just started to actually expand into that. Got really into playing, like, rock music. Got a jazz guitar teacher, so got into jazz, which really, I'm gonna say, it's jazz and metal, they really go together, even though it makes no sense, but like, yeah, it's perfect, the scales and just everything, they work really well.
Yeah, if you want to get good at guitar, play jazz.
Exactly. Any rock, any metal, if you want to get good at it, play jazz.
Yeah,
but from there, I mean, in high school we thought, like, because I could play guitar and a couple of my friends had a huge heart, so like, for music, one of my friends could scream, but I mean, there's the three of us, and to be honest, some were more musically talented than others, but it's all good. We thought that we were number one. We covered You Should Have Killed Me When You Had the Chance by A Day to Remember. That was like the one song that we were able to cover, and it actually sounded, it sounded all right. We basically had one guitar and one screamer, which is not a band. But we still had the aspirations, and we tried for about 3 years, and I think we finally just gave up on the idea. But that was kind of where really my inspiration and just my heart to actually really start getting into the metal scene came from. Is it's like, one of my friends was just like, we should do this, and I'm like, that's sweet. And at that age you're like, yeah, we can do this, and it's not going to be hard. And then you realize, oh, this is not as easy.
Well, yeah, but this is pretty hard, but
Yeah. I know, I can tell you're just waiting in the pauses just to add a little Canadian jab there.
I was using my at that point my Mexican Strat, and I just drop tuned it to drop C. Oh, that guitar, the metal guitars, there's a reason why they make actual guitars for metal music, because Stratocasters are not for metal music. But, I mean, leading up to it, I mean, I only actually started really singing on my DTS. Like, people, even back home in my church, didn't know I could sing.
Right.
Basically, some of the girls and staff on the DTS were just like, you should really sing. You have a nice voice. I hear you sing in the shower, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll do it. And one thing led to another. Sang at an open mic night. And, I mean, that's just been a passion ever since. It's like, that's... Yeah. But that's most of my musical journey.
Oh, I remember that night. That was a good night.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like the first song you wrote too?
That was...
Or at least being there.
That was the first song I wrote being there. I think that was the third song I've ever... Yeah, I'd ever written in my life.
Wow.
It was good. That was super Sitting Colour. He's got a nice like Sitting Colour voice.
Hearing both of your upbringings with music and your passion for it, is that kind of why you're taking the School of Music and Missions at the moment?
Yeah, definitely.
And how did you come to take it in Newcastle at this time?
Yeah, well, for me, I wasn't... After my DTS, I was planning just on working and getting married, like, anyway. But I don't know. I just, like, really felt like I wanted to come back to Australia, and I didn't really have an outlet. I didn't know if I wanted to do Hillsong Worship College or if I wanted to... You know, I have, like, Stevie came to our school and on DTS and sort of gave his pitch for Newcastle. And I found it really interesting. And Stevie was, I saw him at Easterfest as well. And he was a incredible musician.
That's Stevie Lujan, by the way.
Stevie Lujan. Lujan, whatever you want to call it. How do you pronounce it?
Stevie Lujan.
Stevie Lujan.
Anyway, so, like, I wanted to, you know, continue doing music, but I also wanted to go back to Australia, so I didn't know what that looked like. And and then out of nowhere, Stevie Lugin messaged me on Facebook, and he's like, "Dude, I want you to consider my school." And at that point, like, I was just coming off a job at camp, so I had nothing to do for the fall. So I was just like, "Yeah, I'll seriously consider it if God provides the funds somehow."
Yeah,
because I had already paid for my last DTS.
Yeah.
So I had no means of actually doing it, but then, sure enough, funds come in like they always do.
Yeah.
And so that just sort of led me to being here, and yeah, it's been crazy.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. What about you, Austin?
Yeah, so it started back, when Tristan mentioned that Stevie came during Easter Fest and he spoke for a day in our school and just kind of talked about the school and music admissions. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'm not doing that. I'm like, I'm going to university. I was dead set on it. I was like, man, going back home, get university for 5 years, going to get a good job. Mm-hmm. Music's going to be kind of a side project. You know, God's not going to be using me for music, whatever. And then during outreach, we were in East Timor, and I actually met Ollie, who's leading an outreach team from YWAM Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we just got talking to him about YWAM Newcastle in general, and he just really, I guess God just gave me a heart for the place. That really opened the door, and it's like, I just kind of got convicted that it's like, you know what, if God's saying this is the place to go, then this is the place to go. And I mean, planning on going to university, but I mean, I honestly didn't believe that I was going to university.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was coming back to Australia doing something, but I had no idea that I was coming back right away. I thought maybe 5 years, 10 years, whatever down the road. But yeah, then I was talking to Stevie, and it's just like, everything he was saying, I was like, that's what I want to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the dream I've had since I was like 7 years old, going actually playing in a band, going out and actually reaching out to people, playing half decent music that people like.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up just going back home, working my butt off, and I didn't think I was still like, it was like 2 weeks before, and I was like, I'm not gonna get there, like there's no way. And God just provided the funds within like 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah. And you kind of know when he does that this is where you're supposed to be, and it's been good though.
That's awesome. You guys, as part of your school, your outreach phase is going to be on tour in New Zealand, just like mine was. And
what?
Really? Yeah, you guys are forming the next Ransom Mystic, but with a different name. Yes, exactly. It's not going to be the same band, completely different members, completely different, similar sound. And
ouch. No, really, though.
True.
It you guys are going to be playing at Festival 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where we played last year with Switchfoot and Gungo and stuff. That's going to be awesome. You guys are recording an EP at the end of that as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, faithful listener, if you keep listening to this podcast, eventually I'll have a link in the description for you to be able to download that EP for free at the end of their school. That'll be very exciting. Stay tuned for that within the next 6 months. Awesome, awesome. That's great that you guys are, you're pretty psyched about everything that's ahead, and it sounds like you have a lot of passion and drive behind you. So I'm really encouraged by you guys pursuing what God's calling you to, and it's great to have a couple of younger brothers in the on the bass that share my passion for metal. Terrific having you guys around.
Mm-hmm.
Music wise now, as far as being middle kids goes, I just want to address this briefly just because, you know, being a pastor's kid and a middle kid, I kind of know what it feels like. I mean, I'm the third of five. Tell me, what are some pros and cons that you see to being a middle kid, or maybe you saw growing up, you found it hard, or you thought it was awesome?
I wasn't a middle kid until I want to say 9, because my mom had another kid very much later.
I was the same, actually.
Yeah.
I was 9, yeah.
Yeah, so I for the longest time I was the youngest, so I got away with a lot of stuff, right? You know what I mean? Like, I could bug my older siblings, and
that was my sister. Yeah. Yeah, she got away with a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Same. And so I would just like use that card, right? And then as soon as my little brother came in, I was like, oh, that's over.
Yeah.
But like, it's so funny because like, middle kids are supposed to be the weird ones, right? Like the ones who are looked at as like the odd ones out, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. or like the forgotten ones.
Yeah.
And like, that was always me though. Like, even as like the younger brother for the longest time, I was always the weird one. And oh, usually man. The youngest and the oldest gang up on the middle kid. But like my older brother and sister would always gang up on me. I was awful to them though. But like,
yeah.
But, yeah. So just like, just growing up with that, like, eventually when my little brother came into the picture, it was just a weird dynamic. Like, mm-hmm. My family, like, my parents are divorced, so, like, we had, like, a split family, right? So, mm-hmm. we didn't always live together as, you know, four kids, and so yep. I didn't always feel like the middle kid.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's definitely, like, some moments where I just felt like the odd one out, for yeah. sure.
Yeah, no, the pros of being the middle kid is sometimes you can slip under the radar. Mm-hmm. When it's like, when there's something bad that goes on, you're like, I'm ducking out. And it's usually because
totally.
The youngest usually grabs most of the attention mm-hmm. that you're like, okay, I can see this is going and I'm going to leave now so I don't get blamed for it. Even if I was part of it, mm-hmm. you still duck out. But definitely, man, the cons were you poke your brother and he starts crying or he fakes cry, like starts faking crying and you're like, oh, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get blamed for many things that were not your fault. And it's like, you're expected to take responsibility for your younger brother, and it's like, yeah, that was definitely a con. That was definitely a con. because it's either you're able to really slip under the radar or not at all. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, the younger brother is very good at pointing fingers, or at least mine was.
Yeah, very.
That's Tristan.
Yeah, my younger brother, Tristan.
Disclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's not this Tristan, but another Tristan.
Another Tristan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might be in the name.
I think it's the name.
Yeah.
We tend to be. It's actually, though, no, it's weird because Tristans are usually supposed to be the sensitive, like, caring, muscular ones and, like,
muscular.
I love it. Like,
extremely good looking.
By the name.
Yeah. By the name. Okay.
And, according to Urban Dictionary.
Yes. This is really good.
according to Urban Dictionary, Ryans are always the sexiest ones. I read that. It's true. It's on the internet.
It's on the internet, right? Just check it out for yourself.
I got
don't
you.
Believe me.
Yeah.
Dude, like, definitely a pro in the as being the middle kid was like.
I was a pro being the middle kid.
True. Oh my god.
Sorry.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, definitely, like, big pro was just, like, yeah, you didn't get blamed for a lot, but, like, also, just, like, being under that radar, you do a lot of stuff, and I feel like I really found my own way, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. being a middle kid, you yeah. know, really did things on my own, because I can totally tell from my brother, like, there's a lot of pressures on him, mm-hmm. like, you know, first kids, like, you definitely. Gotta go to school, gotta get a job, you know, and I think as the middle kid, I just sort of had, like, the freedom to do whatever I wanted, you know, yep. I mean, pursue something different, you know, I didn't, also with that, like, falling, I don't know if you ever felt like this, but, like, falling under the shadow of your older brother,
mm-hmm. yeah,
like, all the time, I both feel like that,
yep.
yeah, and, like, especially in my family, too, like, I was thinking about this today, as, like, I was just walking, and I was just, like, when, I remember my family, like, when I was with them, this is my extended family, so, like, mm-hmm. my cousins, my uncles, and whatnot, my brother wouldn't be there, but I would be there, they would always ask, so where's Justin? Like, where's Justin mm-hmm. at? Guarantee you, if I wasn't there and Justin was there, they would not ask where I was. You know what I mean? I've always felt like Justin was sort of favored. Yes. Justin's my brother. has nothing to do, like, with personality-wise. Like, I love my family, and mm-hmm. Justin obviously loves our family, too, and so mm-hmm. equally. But I just feel like there's something there just about being the oldest. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, but I just feel like there's unspoken privileges.
There's a bit of a hierarchy.
Yeah.
At least a pecking order, particularly when it comes to the extended family.
Definitely.
Oh, for sure. Then
mm-hmm. The oldest among them all is the ringleader.
Yeah.
And they tell everybody, they orchestrate everything.
Uh-huh.
And then you got the younger ones that get away with everything. And then the middle ones get blamed for everything.
Because yeah. they still kind of remember you when you were little. And it's
Yeah. That's right. And even though we're all grown up and we're all legally adults and all that, they still look down on you as the younger one.
Yeah,
so then the younger ones are like, no, I'm grown up. I'm equal with you now, but the older ones still look down.
Mm. There's just like that complex there. It's like, no, I gotta prove myself. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like you guys. Yeah. That was me for a while. Then I shifted into the weird role of being the middle kid.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to both of what you guys said.
Yeah.
Being able to slip out whenever I wanted to and falling under the radar. My parents would come and find me after a couple hours of them doing something. They're like, hey, Ryan, did you know we were supposed to be doing this now? You didn't tell me anything. We've been locked in your room all day. Happened all the time.
Same here.
Yeah.
You'd be like, Dad, where's Tristan? He's like, who's Tristan? Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah, it's like, let's invite him to dinner or something. And it's like, 10 years old. It's like, yeah, I hope so. Oh, my parents are awesome. Yeah. Like, just being the middle kid can be so frustrating sometimes.
It's awesome. There's ups and downs, I think, to all of them, though.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's extensive studies being done on birth order and how that affects the outcome of the personality and all that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that now. As we're kind of wrapping up this episode, I like to ask this question. When you walk into a room and there's a big crowd of people, you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
What do you do to make friends? Or what would you do if you had the guts?
I think I know it. I'd probably just start beatboxing. That's something I'm comfortable with. That's something I can actually do. But that just works.
Okay.
People are just naturally attracted to music.
Yeah.
I would just bring food, dude. Like, are you kidding me? Like a bag of bago chips and just like
bago chips
and just like open up some Lay's and share them and like people will be your friend in no time. People love food. It's a secret love language. I swear. Yeah. Like, you can get me whatever gift, but if you get me food, I'll start weeping. Like, pizza?
Domino's.
Dude? Oh, my goodness. And especially, like, people at WOW just love to bless people with, like, pizza. It's like, that's $5. Of course I'm going to buy you pizza. It's like, and, oh, I love it.
Right, so...
buy me pizza.
So you would get people food, so they would love you for the gifts that you bring them. Which I find to be kind of a little... haphazard in the way that if you don't bring them food, will they still love you?
True. I think I'd be like be pushed into the role of being like food guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't want to be the food guy.
Yeah. You know, but I feel like everyone has like their sort of roles and social aspects too.
Roles, that's a food pun. Good job.
Everyone's got it. Oh my goodness. Oh, you do make a lot of puns. It's amazing. But you know what I mean? Like, you can tell in every, like, social group, there's, like, the funny person or, like, the leader. Or, like, I don't know. Like, I was always, like, I want to be the guy that made everyone laugh, you know? And so, like, I was always, like, the clown. So, like, I guess a way of making people, I guess, be my friend was just make them laugh, you know? And, like, just do something... stupid or like or something so goofy that they'd be like like this guy's awesome. You know what I mean? Like that was just always my approach.
Yeah.
You know, and like for the most part it's been ineffective, but like one day I'll find a friend and it'll be great.
Yeah.
And we'll just be awkward together.
We'll keep praying for you. Okay, Austin, before you drop the beat, let's ask this final question. Okay. What is some advice that you guys would leave the listeners with that would just improve their life incredibly?
Rule number one, you go into Macca's, don't buy a McFlurry, buy the 50-cent cones, get a couple shots of, like, M&M's, put them in a cup. I mean, this is my personal...
It's not the same thing.
But it's just similar.
You don't get the funky spoon, man.
I'm sorry that you don't get the funky spoon, but, I mean, I think you can live without it. I mean, if you're on a budget, especially YOM, I think you can live without it. That's kind of my rule. Like, you get two, three shots of... M&M's, I think you're good. I think you're happy.
I'm kind of a little afraid now that we'll get PMK shut down by McDonald's just after that.
Oh no, we lost a sponsor.
In case you're wondering, here's how to undermine the entire McDonald's system.
Sure, they'll get
they're gonna get me, man. It'll be your fault. Okay, that's enough from you. Tristan, what's some advice that you have?
If you're going to use a porta potty, use it earlier in the day. You will thank me.
Wise words from a wise man.
Very sage.
He's very sage. Love it. That's the first time anyone's ever called me that.
So sage.
Okay, anyway, this has been Pastor's Middle Kid. I've been here with my friends Tristan and Austin from Canada, talking about music and having tons of fun. Yay! Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully you'll tune in next week. If you don't, you're going to be missing out. Yep, Austin.
Okay.
Box us out of here.
This is the one.